Monitor was there, and this is what happened.
One issue of vital concern to all Americans is the need for adequate educational facilities for our youth. Many of you remember the little one-room schoolhouse of bygone days with the old pot-bellied stove and the hard benches and the dreary interior, as contrasted with the bright, cheery classrooms of today, where learning's no longer a chore, but a pleasure under ideal conditions. But despite the number of modern schools being built throughout the country, there still exists a serious shortage of classrooms. President Eisenhower has proposed a $3.25 million program to aid the states in solving this critical problem, but there's serious congressional opposition to this program. Today, we're pleased to have on the American Forum Senator Clifford Case, Republican of New Jersey, and Senator J. Strom Thurmond, Democrat of South Carolina, to discuss the need of federal aid for school construction. Well, gentlemen, let's begin with this question. Does federal aid to schools also mean federal control? Senator Case, how do you feel?
Well, I'm very clear, Steve, that the proposal that the administration made and indeed the bill that the House subcommittee has approved would not mean federal control.
You do not believe so. Senator Thurmond, how do you feel, sir?
Federal aid does lead to federal control, and it's inevitable that that would do so.
How do you feel that, it eventually will work its way in, or that in the next 6 months it will work that way, or immediately? What do you mean, Senator?
I think that if this program should be adopted, that it will be an entering wedge, and that later there will be a demand for federal aid for teacher salaries. And then, when that comes, there will be a demand for the federal government to prescribe the curriculum. Then that means control of the schools, and that's the way dictatorships arise.
Senator Case.
Well, of course, if we had federal control of curricula, we'd have federal control, and that's what none of us wants. I don't share Senator Thurmond's fear about this at all. We've had a history of federal aid, as a matter of fact, in this country to education, and very directly. It goes back to the land-grant college acts of the middle 1800s. And the $18 billion that was spent for the GI Bill of Rights led to no federal control whatever. And most particularly, our experience in the last few years with spending some $1.2 or $3 billion for federal aid to school districts. We're talking now about elementary schools and high schools, where the need for assistance comes about because of federal activities, has all been spent without any vestige of federal control, and I'm sure that that's the experience that you, Senator Thurmond, have had in South Carolina, where some $20 million has been received and spent in this federally impacted program.
You convinced, Senator Thurmond?
No, I'm not convinced at all. In the impacted areas, that is one area in which we do have federal grants today. For instance, like Army camps or an atomic energy area, something like that, where the government comes in with an unusual number of employees or civilians come in to be employed there, and it's impossible for the local community to take care of the situation. Now, there are specialized programs like agriculture and industrial programs that also fall in that category. And then there are selected programs like school lunches. But all of these together constitute only 3% of the education budget today. The states are now bearing 40%, the local communities 57%, and the federal government only 3%. Those are particularly specialized programs, and they would be entirely different from general aid to education.
Well, I can see your point. If the federal assistance to education ever got to be a very substantial part of the total educational budget, then indeed we would have a question as to whether, if we are giving that much money toward education, we in Congress wouldn't have a responsibility to see how it was spent. And none of us wants that, of course. But we're not talking about anything like that. We're talking about something in the range of the amount spent in the last few years in this federal impacted program. As I said, $1.2 or $3 billion has been spent, and it's proposed under the President's bill to spend $1.3 billion for this school construction bill we're really talking about, and in the bill the House passed, or the House subcommittee approved, rather, only $2 billion. A very small part, and yet an essential part, to take care of the backlog of need that's arisen and to give a stimulus to the states, particularly those states and the areas in all states, which are unable to meet the need, not eventually, because all states can do it eventually, but the problem is getting it done now rather than in 10 or 15 years from now, when 3 or 4 or 5 generations of school kids will have passed through inadequate schooling.
Even in those programs, there was federal control. There were regulations. For instance, under the Smith-Hughes Act, which was passed in 1917, there is a book today of 108 pages of regulations. Each state is required to submit a plan that must meet with the approval of the Office of Education in Washington.
I don't agree with that.
Isn't that federal control?
Yes, at least it borders on it, but this is not what we're talking about, Senator. We're talking about a plan in which the plan for the states will be presented to the federal government. Money's allotted in accordance with the simple provisions of the bill. Federal control ends except for the auditing.
Now, that's different from the simple, but I have never seen anything simple with the federal government.
Well,
and anywhere the federal government puts money, I think they're going to control. For instance, in the 1956 Highway Act, the Secretary of Labor there is empowered to fix wage scales. And you are familiar with the Supreme Court decision in 1942 in the Wicked case, in which this was said: it is hardly lack of due process for government to regulate that which it subsidizes. In other words, if the government subsidizes it, they'll have the right to regulate. And I'm bitterly opposed to that. And then right here in Maryland, the Maryland officials were not permitted to build certain kinds of classrooms for certain people the way the local officials wanted it done. Congressman Hyde brought that out in March 1957. The federal government stepped in and gave them directions as to what they could do.
This is the federally impacted program you're talking about, Senator Thurman?
It was a similar program to that.
And does it relate to standards of health and so forth?
No, it wasn't that. It was a special program they had on there, and they told them that they would have to build certain facilities when the local people desired other facilities.
Yes, but this isn't a special program, Senator Thurman. This is just plain money to the states for their programs of building school facilities.
That's a typical argument that's been used to get these programs before. But it doesn't work out that way. And furthermore, the states haven't asked for it. Why do you want to give the states something when they don't want it? Congressman Gwynn, a member of the House Education Subcommittee, said on March 11, 1957, that no governor, no legislator, and no school board had come forward asking for federal aid to date. And he said
I agree that is probably true. I don't know of any case, as a matter of fact, except where you have a program already instituted, as for aid to the drought areas and so forth, under a federal plan that's already established, where a governor of a state ever comes to Washington or a state legislature ever comes hat in hand. What we have had here, though, was a very careful survey made at the instance of the Department, Federal Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, in which all the state officials of all the states in charge of schools answered these questions as to the need in their states for new school classrooms. And they produced last fall this data on which the House committee has finally acted, that 159 classrooms, 159,000 classrooms are needed to take up the slack. And they gave much evidence of the need of the overcrowding in the school systems all over the country. These were state officials who made this survey.
Do you label that an emergency, Senator Case? Is this an emergency program?
I think it should be regarded as an emergency, and the emergency, it's very clear how it came out. We had a long period of war following a period of depression, and we've had an unprecedented period in which people have moved from place to place in this country. Over 20%, I noticed that the Bureau of the Census said yesterday, of 20% of the people moved in 1 year, and this has created chaos in local school districts.
Is there an emergency, Senator Thurman?
There's no emergency at all. The Health, Education, and Welfare Department in 1953 said there was a shortage of 340,000 classrooms.
Now, Senator.
Now, the same Health, Education, and Welfare Department collected these figures that you're speaking of, 159,000 classroom shortage as of 1956. In other words, the shortage had been reduced from 340,000 in 53 to 159,000 in 56 in a three-year period, which is a 57% reduction. Give the states two to 3 years longer, and they will finish the job. So where's the emergency?
Now, that sounds very much like the arguments, or some of them, that the Chamber of Commerce has made. If these two figures were on the same basis, and if they were talking about the same thing, there would be great sense in the argument, but they were not. In the earlier survey to which you referred, with some 300,000 coming back to the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, that was based not upon absolute need, but upon the desirable. And this last figure of 159,000 was a bare bones essentials that we were talking about. The figures were not comparable at all. Everyone has agreed. All the figures that I have seen prove that while the states have done a tremendous job, and I include very well your own state of South Carolina in the enormous effort that it's made in building schools in the last few years, they still, while they've barely kept up with current needs and current increases in population and all the rest of it, haven't made a bit of a dent on the backlog that was caused by this serious period of the Depression and of the war and this extra business of moving that the American people have now come to have as their habit of life.
Of the 159,000 rooms you spoke of course, half of those are in existence. They just said they were inadequate. But anyway, suppose we take the 159,000. That's only less than half of what the shortage was estimated in 1953.
But on a different
And the
basis,
Investment
as
Bankers
I said.
Association said, and they testified before the House Education Committee, and they had the figures to back it up, and it was uncontradicted, that the local officials have already made plans now to build 165,800 rooms, which is 6,800 more rooms than the alleged shortage of 159,000. In other words, 6,800 rooms have already been planned for more than the shortage today, and these can be built within 2 or 3 years. So throw the federal government into the job?
That would be a very fine thing if the states could actually do this. But the point is that over all this period, with this extraordinary effort, they haven't been able to make a bit of a dent on this backlog, and the kids are going to school, 880,000, 880,000 of them are going to school part-time. 2,000,003 are going to school in overcrowded conditions. In addition to this, equal number, about 79,000 of classrooms that are inadequate and unsafe. Now, why not solve the problem now instead of waiting for generations of school kids to pass through these inadequate facilities? That's the point, and that's why it's an emergency. I'm not arguing. Most all the people who are for this program aren't arguing for permanent federal aid to education. Certainly the president doesn't want it. But time after time, people who don't want this kind of program if they don't have to have it have come around and said they do. Marion Folsom, the secretary here, was on a commission which didn't like the idea of federal assistance. But he came, when he met the problem in his work, he said it's necessary.
Now, gentlemen, you don't agree, obviously, on control, and you don't agree on the emergency. Let's see how you feel about the cost of it. Now, would this federal aid, assuming it's passed, would the federal aid to schools mean in reality that the wealthy states support the less wealthy states? Would you say that were true, Senator Thurmond?
Well, I say that they would send money to Washington, they would send a dollar there and get about 60 cents back. That's true. So the wealthy states might break even in the end. But that's not the question. There are bigger principles than that. There's a terrific principle here involved, too.
May I
the
just,
field of education...
Let Senator Case answer one point.
I just
want right
to be sure I understood you, Senator Thurmond. You don't mean that 40% of this money is going to be held in Washington, do you?
Well, that's the estimate of money that comes to Washington and goes through the ringer here, and when the government agencies get through with it here, it's estimated that from a third to 40% gets back to the state.
I didn't mean to interrupt your discussion of the bigger point that you were started on, but I did think that we shouldn't leave this erroneous impression standing without clearing it up. This question of how much money sticks in Washington instead of being put to the use that it's intended for when it's raised is something that there's been an awful lot of confusion about. And so this Commission on Intergovernmental Relations had a study made. And of all the federal aid programs, 25 of them, it was shown that 1.4% of the money was spent by Washington for administrative purposes. And Secretary Folsom has estimated that the cost of administering this money under the administration bill or under the House committee bill, either one, would amount to about 0.2%, all for the purpose of seeing that the thing was properly handled. 0.2%, not 30 or 40%.
I want to read you what your President's Commission on Intergovernmental Relations said, now, since you brought that up. The Commission recommends that responsibility for providing general public education continue to rest squarely upon the states and their political subdivisions. The Commission does not recommend a general program of federal financial assistance to elementary and secondary education, believing that the states have the capacity to meet their educational requirements.
Now, may I continue?
They said that,
may I continue
that commission,
with that
commission right. itself said that the states have the capacity to meet it. Now, it went further and said that if any aid is to be given, it should be only of a temporary nature and then only where the need is shown.
Senator Case.
Well, you have, I think, almost fairly summarized it. It goes on to say, however, when a clear factual showing of need and lack of resources. It is demonstrated one or more states don't have adequate tax resources to support an adequate school program. The national government, through some appropriate means, would be justified in assisting such states temporarily in financing the construction of school facilities. Now, this is exactly the point we're at. Secretary Folsom was a member of this commission, signed this report, and then, having looked at the need, decided it existed, and now recommends it most strongly.
And that was his department, which in 1953 said there was a shortage of 340,000 classrooms, and last fall it was estimated 159,000, and therefore there's been a reduction in the shortage of 57%.
Oh, no, there hasn't been, because I thought we'd covered this ground, that in the earlier figure they were talking about what was desirable in a perfect situation. In the later figure they were talking about absolute bedrock definite needs, there was no building or making up of any shortage. It was entirely a different kind of standard that was being applied in the two times. No shortage has been made up at all.
Of course, that's the way you're looking at it. Yeah, that's the way
you're looking at it. But everyone understands and everyone agrees that years of depression have left this shortage, and that the efforts of the states thus far, though they've been very great, and I include yours, of course, among them, have not caught up beyond catching up with current needs and have made no dent at all upon the backlog.
There's no question that the states can do the job. They have reduced it 57% in 3 years, and they can reduce it in three more years and can catch up, in my opinion.
Well, of course,
and besides, with the plans being made to construct 185,000 more rooms, which will more than offset the deficit, I think it's clear that it's not needed. It'd be a great mistake to enter into it. And furthermore, I want to say this, that the states are more able than the federal government. Our federal government owes more money than all the nations in the world put together. Our federal deficit today is $275 million. For the last 25 years, we have had a deficit for 21 of those years. The states are in much better shape than the federal government. In 1932, only one-third of the federal taxes amounted to only one-third of the total taxes. Today, they're seven times as much as the state and local taxes. The federal government is in terrible shape today, as you well know.
No, I don't agree the federal government is in terrible shape. Of course we have a big budget, and of course we have high federal taxes. But the reason isn't welfare payments. The reason is the burden of saving this country and the world from destruction. And anybody who doesn't recognize that just isn't facing the facts of life. Now, the federal budget is high, but I want to point out this, that for the last 3 years, it's been stabilized at 20% of the national income. That before that, in 1953, it was 25%, in 1954, 23, and in 1955, 21. The high point, of course, was at the end of the war, in 1945, when it was 53%. We're not bleeding to death. It's an extraordinary thing. But this country is more prosperous than it's ever been, and so is every person in it. While I am among the first to say we shouldn't waste a nickel, any money, as the president says himself, spent for schools and school kids where it's necessary is spent on the highest priority. We can't afford not to do this kind of thing. You don't argue yourself that the money shouldn't be spent. You argue only, I assume, that the money should only be spent by the states. And then the question comes whether the states and the local communities can do it.
Senator
and
Thurman,
we've proven that
I'm a strong believer in schools. I'm a former school teacher and a former school superintendent. No one believes more in schools than I do. But it would be a terrible mistake for the federal government to go into this program, because it eventually, without any question, will lead to federal control of the schools, and it will cause us to go terribly in debt to a greater extent than we are now. Well, and besides, it's not necessary. The states are meeting their responsibilities, and so why inaugurate, and at this time when the people are crying for economy, to inaugurate a new program that's going to lead to billions and billions of dollars?
Well, now, Senator Thurman, in the first place, included in this year's budget, which is in balance and has a surplus, is the provision for the first year's payments under this program. So we're not going to go in debt for this program. And if you agree that the money is necessary to be spent and it's just a question of who spends it, then it isn't. I assume that we have an agreement on that. I assume that you don't think that we have an adequate supply of schools, because if you do, then you're almost the only person that I've ever talked to who thinks that our schools are adequate now.
What right has the federal government in the educational field anyway? Under the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, the federal government has only those powers which are specifically delegated to it by the states in the Constitution. The word education is not even mentioned in the United States Constitution. What right has the federal government to enter into this field?
Well,
the field of education is reserved to the states. And furthermore,
would you have opposed the land grant college provision? Would you have opposed the GI Bill? Would you have opposed the aid to this impacted area? I don't think you would, Senator Thurman.
If the federal government had not put on high taxes and left those taxes back with the states could have done the job and done it much better and much cheaper than the federal government can do it. You and I were not here at that time. And of course, we're looking now retrospectively.
You were in your state and I was in mine.
I am convinced that the states could do the job much better. I'm convinced they can do this construction job much better and that they should be allowed to do this job.
They will do it under this bill. The federal government won't build the schools. The federal government only allocates the funds and the states build the schools themselves, just as they have always done it. Now, I would like to say a word about your point on the tax burden here. By and large, the states raise their money from either one of two ways, either property taxes or sales taxes. Both kinds of taxes bear most heavily on the little guy, the person of relatively small income, whereas the federal tax is largely the income tax and is paid progressively by the people most able to pay it. And so the tax burden here under a federal aid program will be borne by the people who can pay it and not added to already overburdened people in the states. And I'd like to point out in this connection, it isn't only a question of school buildings that's involved here. It's a question of using state resources that are vitally needed for other things, and particularly for aid to current education. And until we have made up a better average nationally than $4,220 for school teachers' payments over the country as a whole, we had better not say that the states are in a position to take on this added burden of meeting this backlog of school
construction. You do agree that the federal government has run a deficit for 21 out of the last 25 years, don't you?
Well, I assume that your figures on this are right, but that deficit hasn't occurred in the last 4 years under this present administration. It isn't occurring even though in this year's budget is a provision for aid to education under this bill.
Of course, you're familiar with the fact that today we have the highest per capita income in the history of the United States.
Yes, we do.
We have the fullest employment and the highest standard of living. And that this is an unusual situation or period in which we're living now.
Well,
and
I
that
don't
it's
think
not
so.
A normal period.
I think it is normal, Senator,
And you, of course, fully know that we cannot count on the income of this country being as great year in and year out as it is now.
Well, I would say that it's going to increase and continue to increase because we are in a period of high income and high employment forever, I believe.
Money, of course, leads to construction, which you've mentioned several times. I'd like to ask you this question. In a very interesting book now out called Workplace for Learning, Lawrence B. Perkins wrote it. It's a book of pictures and text on new school buildings. He has pictures of schools such as this one. Now, if you would just take a look at that school, that's a rather good-looking one, is it not? Wouldn't you say? Do you feel, is this the kind of school you're talking about? Is that the kind of construction we're talking about, or can it be done simpler than
that? That's the kind the states are now building, and if they're let alone, they'll build the rest of them like that.
Do you feel so, Senator Case?
I would leave this, as Senator Thurman would, entirely up to the states to decide what is the most desirable thing. I would think that that this very luxurious layout is hardly typical. It perhaps is a desirable thing for all places to shoot at, but that isn't the point. The point is that the states ought to decide this. Mm-hmm. They will spend the money under the proposed program as they have in the past.
I would not say that is typical, but certainly they have built magnificent schools, and the states are meeting their obligations, and they should not be interfered with. And I want to
they're
say
they're doing their best to meet them, but they aren't succeeding.
That, for instance, to give you why it costs more for the federal government to do jobs. California asked $852 a pupil in an impacted area. The federal government allotted $1,420. Mississippi asked $682 per pupil, and they were given $1,040.
Who decides this? Who decides these things?
Well, that's under the federally impacted school program.
That's under the federally impacted school program, and it just is typical of the way the federal government does business.
Whether
it costs the federal government two or three times as much to do anything as it does anybody else.
But now listen, even under the federally impacted school program, there's a certain amount of discretion as to how much a particular school district should get in the way of federal assistance. Under the proposed bills that are now pending, for aid to school construction, there is no discretion whatever. It's entirely a mathematical formula, and things of that sort couldn't happen. Now, whether in those particular cases it was justified, whether it was desirable to build more adequate facilities than the local people wanted to build, and the federal government thought if you're going to put anything in, it ought to be done right, I don't know. But I point out that there is discretion under that legislation, and none here in the federal government.
Is the big question here, do you want guaranteed no control, Senator? If you get a guarantee from the Senate and from the House in the Congress here, will you go along with this thing?
My position is, first, that the Congress has no jurisdiction in the field of education. As I said, the word education is not to be found in the Constitution. The federal government can only operate in fields where it has been specifically delegated the authority to do so in the Constitution. My next position is that it will lead to federal control. And my next position is that the states are meeting their responsibilities and have not asked for this aid. And the taxpayers, furthermore, want economy, and now is no time to be launching on new programs.
Senator Case. I would like to take those things point by point. In the first place, federal control is not involved here. The only thing that will give us federal control is if the people want it. The only thing that will prevent federal control is if the people don't want it. And if there's one thing clear in the United States, historically and at the present time, and I'm sure for all time to come, is that the people want their schools controlled at home. And that, and no paper provision, and I'm not belittling a constitution, but no provision in law or in anything we may say in Congress or anything else is going to stop it. If the people want it, they don't want it, and they will not get it. Now, on your second question, your second point, or your last one, rather, that this is no time to be spending the money. I cannot believe that you don't believe that these school facilities shouldn't be built. If you do believe it, this essential need should be met now and not sometime in the hazy future, so that the kids for the next generations are going to be adequately taught.
It will be met in the next 2 or 3 years, because the plan's already underway now to build 6,800 more rooms than the Office of Education says are needed. And furthermore, I want to tell you what President Eisenhower said about this program.
Have a quick quote.
A federal aid to education in 1949, when he was president of Columbia University.
You better tell us, digest it, Senator, because we don't have much time. Did he oppose it, or was he for it?
Well, at that time, he was opposed to federal aid for education.
That was a different kind of a bill, Senator Thurmond. Look, let me read what President Eisenhower said in his message to Congress in January.
I'm sorry.
Notwithstanding record-breaking state and local expenditures for education in recent years, the nation is faced with a current shortage which they cannot meet.
I must interrupt, gentlemen. I'm sorry. I wish we had more time. Our guests today have been, and we thank them very much for a very interesting discussion, Senator Clifford Case, Republican of New Jersey, and Senator J. Strom Thurmond, Democrat of South Carolina. The nation's first discussion program, The American Forum, is now in its 28th year, founded and produced by Theodore Granick. This is Steve McCormick bidding you goodbye.